together like this morning to praise you, Lord, to worship you as we have done this morning, exalting, lifting up the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I thank you too, Lord, that even as the word goes out, that your word does not return void, but that your word accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish this morning. That in all that is said and done, that the name of Jesus is exalted. And Father, we say thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, some time back, if you recall, we started having a look at the book of Romans. And, you know, we did Romans part 1, and then we've had, you know, some messages in between, and then we did Romans part 2. So today we are going to be looking at Romans, Paul's letter to the church in Rome. And this is now part 3 in our series. And if we had to give this morning's message a title, it would be The Consequences of Rejecting Jesus. The Consequences of Rejecting Jesus. Let me tell you, that if you and I make a decision to reject God's gift to mankind, there's a consequence. There's a consequence. Let me ask you this too. Have you ever been in a situation where you have tried to help somebody, somebody that might be going through a difficult time, and eventually it reaches a point where they are now continually taking advantage of you? Have you been in that situation? In other words, it might be that you're helping them financially, but they use that help that you are giving them to continue with their destructive behavior. Have you ever been in that situation? It may be that they have an alcohol problem. It may be that they have a drug problem. It may be that they have a financial problem, or maybe a gambling problem. And that you come along because you are so nice, right? And because you love them. And you may help them, let's say, with finances, but those finances are now being utilized and they are being channeled to, how can I say, to fuel their problem. Have you been in that situation? Many of us have, folks. They are now using what you are giving them, trying to assist them. They are now using that to go out and purchase more drugs. They are going out to purchase more alcohol. Purchase, maybe spending more time at the casino where they are gambling. And now they expect you to actually continue to help them. And at times they will even lay a number on you. And say, well, you know, obviously you don't love me anymore. Okay, well, you're not helping me, you don't love me. But folks, because you continue to assist, and because you continue to help, there are absolutely no consequences to the actions because of what we're doing, right? And the truth is, if you really analyze it, that you're not helping them. You're not helping them, okay? So at some point, you need to be able to let them go out and deal with the consequences of the lifestyle that they are choosing. So, because we now no longer supplying finances to them or giving them whatever they need, that does not mean that you do not love them anymore. It doesn't mean you don't love them anymore. It means, really, that you are now no longer prepared to support their destructive behavior. That's what it means. Is that true? Now, I've said all of that because this is what we see in this portion of Scripture in Romans. All right, God has revealed himself to mankind, and man goes out there and rejects him, or man goes and replaces him with other gods. Remember, I spoke about that in part 1 of this series, all right? And the result of that is, when we reject God or we replace God with other gods, the result of that is that people start to live godlessly and people start to live wickedly. And if you missed out on all of that, please listen to part 1 and part 2, because we covered all, I spent a lot of time covering that. So today we are now going to see how God ultimately, listen here, gives them over to their ungodly lifestyle. Okay, God is continually trying to draw them in, trying to draw them in, trying to draw them in, you know, and eventually just lets them go out and do their thing. But God now giving up, you know, well, you know, taking his hand off them, it does not mean that he actually gives up on them, and it doesn't mean that he doesn't love them at all, right? Basically, he stands ready to receive those that desire forgiveness, those that have decided to repent. God is standing there with arms wide open to receive his people. And there's a demonstration, a real good demonstration of this that we see in the Word of God. And of course, this is a story of the prodigal son, where he asked his father for his inheritance. Remember that? Basically, in that culture, if you go and have a look at that culture, he was saying to his dad, you know, Dad, I wish you were dead. I wish you were dead. Okay? Show me the money. Come on, Dad, show me the money. Because really, that is all that I care about. Now, this loving father in this story of the prodigal, okay, this loving father lets his son go. He let him go. Not because he wanted his son to go. Okay, he lets his son go, but it's because the son needs to deal with some of the effects of some of the choices that he is making in his life. This is why this loving father lets him go. So the son goes to another nation. And he goes out there and he takes his inheritance and he spends it on what they would call the good life. Wine, woman, song. His older brother was bent out of shape. This son of yours that spends your inheritance on prostitutes. That's what he did, right? But this young guy, eventually he reaches a place where he is now starving. And he is desiring the pods that he is feeding pigs. That is where he eventually got to. And it's really at that point when that youngster reached rock bottom, he recognizes that he's done wrong. And he decides to return to his dad with a real repentant heart. Okay? And it's quite interesting if you read on in that story, the father's sitting there. And he must have been sitting there day in and day out and just looking into the distance. And he just suddenly sees somebody walking. And he must have kind of recognized the gait, you know, the way this son of his walked. And what does the father do? He gets up and he runs. He runs to his son. He sees him in the distance. He runs to him, his son. He throws his arms around him and he receives him back. And he brings him back into the family. Folks, just as the prodigal, that prodigal, his father stood ready to receive him. Our Heavenly Father stands ready to receive those, to receive his children, to receive those that he has created when there is a repentance and there's a change of heart. Amen? And God is waiting to do that. So this morning, we're going to continue now having a look at Paul's letter that he wrote to the church in Rome. And we will see now what the effects are, and we will see what the consequences are of rejecting God, what that can actually lead to. So if you've got your Bibles, you can open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 24 through to verses 32. But just as we read this, remember this, and I think I spoke about this in part 2, that God's wrath is against godlessness, and God's wrath is against wickedness that is in society today. That is what the wrath of God is against. Why is God's wrath against that? Because it's those two things that will replace the true God. It's those things that will replace a personal God. It's those things that will replace a holy God. So I also mentioned that, you know, we have absolutely no excuses, you know, for not believing in God. You know, because God has faithfully made himself known to mankind through creation. Do you remember? And what was the other one? Our conscience. Creation and our conscience. God has revealed himself to mankind. So as men continue to reject God, it will lead God to actually letting them go now and walk down that path that they are choosing. Eventually, he just lets these people go down that path that they are choosing. Not that he is choosing, that they are choosing. All right, so those who continue to reject God, okay, and follow themselves. Now, Paul is writing this to the church in Rome because it was obviously happening right there. So we pick it up in verse 24. It says, therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Why? Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passions for one another. Men consumed with passions for one another. It goes on and says, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see it fit to acknowledge God, now watch what God does. God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. Wow, okay. So it goes on now. So here are the results of rejecting God. People that have rejected Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. He goes on to say, they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Wow, I don't think anything is missed out there. Then he says, though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. Give approval. Folks, we see here that sinful activity becomes more and more and more destructive when someone rejects or replaces God or the truth of God. Okay? And the first thing that we see is that rejecting and replacing God leads, and we see it here, it leads to immoral passions. When we reject God, we replace God. We replace gods with gods that we're happy with. Gods that think like us. Gods that will not challenge us. Verse 24. For this reason, God allowed their lusts to control them. God allowed their lusts to control them. As a result, they dishonor their bodies by sexual perversion with each other. Now, folks, when we reject God or we replace God, God gives us over ultimately to those sinful desires of our heart. That's what Paul is saying to the church in Rome. And when we reject God and when we believe the lie, do you know what the lie is that people believe? When we believe the lie that life is all about us, it's all about us and it's all about our pleasure. That's why we're on this planet. That is the lie, all right? For example, you know what people, you hear them say, well, you know, God loves me. And because God loves me, God wants me to go out there and enjoy life. Doesn't God want me to enjoy life? this life that he has given me, okay? Why would he want to deny me having pleasures, right? Of sex and drugs and alcohol and all of these things. God wants me to be happy. The truth is, folks, is actually no. God wants us to be holy. God wants us to be holy. Verse 14, 1 Peter 1:14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. Our former ignorance before we knew the Lord. We were ignorant. All right? But as he who called you is holy, and you've been called, as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So folks, we must live a holy life, okay? In the power and in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live a holy life. We put our trust in Him, and we trust in Him because we have the Holy Spirit now dwelling on the inside of us. We put our trust that the Holy Spirit will guide us and continue to lead us into all righteousness. Amen. So it is in doing this that we experience the abundant life that the Lord Jesus Christ purchased for us. And Jesus died on that cross, and he purchased the abundant life for you and me, and he paid the highest price. The price that he paid was his shed blood on that cross. His shed blood. And if you and I now are going to live a holy life, we will not be following after the sinful lusts of the flesh and immoral passions and all of those things. Folks, I'm not saying that you will not sin. Don't get me wrong. Because we all sin. But these things will not be a lifestyle. They won't be a lifestyle. All right? The problem is that people go out and they start to rationalize the truth of the Bible. The truth of the Word of God. We try to rationalize it. In fact, people go out, even Christians, we start to cherry pick. Oh, yes, I believe that. Uh-huh, yeah, I'll accept that. This is fine. But this, no. This is unacceptable. This is unacceptable in the Bible. I don't believe that. I don't believe that God would say this. And we start to rationalize and we start to try to manipulate the Word of God so that it lines up with our thinking. Don't do that. Because when we do this, folks, we allow our flesh, we start to follow our flesh, and ultimately we will be scarred, and the scars that we will receive will be scars that can last a lifetime when we start to kind of rationalize God's Word. You know, it's only through us being in a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that assists us in being able to put the flesh down, right? It's only being able, you know, it's also through, you know, keeping our eyes focused on Him. We keep our eyes focused on Him that you and I are able to stand strong in the times that we are living in right now, okay? And His desire, God's desire, is that we do whatever it is we do, we honor Him. We honor Him. Amen. 1 Peter 1:40, I'll read it again. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy for I am holy. Now, this doesn't just apply to us. Okay? It's quite interesting. I want to give us a portion of scripture out of Hebrews, but it refers to what Moses went through. Do you remember what was going on at the time of Moses? Right? They were killing the little babies. Do you remember that? All the little kids under a certain age were being killed. So Moses' mother made a little basket and put Moses in this basket and put him in the bulrushes, wherever it was, okay? And knowing that the Pharaoh's daughter would be bathing. And of course they found Moses in the bulrushes. I'll read here. This is from Hebrews. This is New Testament now. Hebrews 11:24. But it says, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He grew up in the palace. He had it all going for him. But he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Now, how many of you here to know, how many of us know that there's pleasure in sin? Put up your hand. Half of us. Folks, if there was no pleasure in sin, none of us would be sinning. And don't tell me you haven't sinned in the last week. Because, you know, we can have a healing line here and we can cast that lying demon out of you. That's what you're saying. Amen. Folks, we all sin. All right? And there is pleasure in sin. That is why you and I sin. Choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Why? Next verse. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking to the reward. And you and I need to be looking to our reward as we go into eternity, like our sister just has. Amen? So what he's saying here is that really being holy and following God will mean foregoing short-term pleasures from time to time. All right? But folks, when we do that, it will lead to a better life here while we're on planet Earth, and it will also lead to incredible rewards when we go into eternity. Amen. Then, the next thing, our rejection and our replacement of God not only leads to immoral passions that I've spoken about right now, but it also leads to indecent perversions. Verse 26, for this reason, God delivered them to degrading passions as if females exchange natural sexual function for one that is unnatural. In the same way, their males also abandoned their natural sexual function towards females and burned with lust towards one another, men for men. Males committed indecent acts with males and received within themselves the appropriate penalty for their perversion. Okay, now, I want to talk about this just briefly here. Because in South Africa and in the world, there are many churches that claim Christianity. Is that true? Many churches claim Christianity. But the problem is, it's in the Bible here, it's talking about homosexuality. The problem is when they address things on homosexuality, there are churches that are here and they're out here. They are light years apart, these churches that claim to be Christian churches. Because on the one side, you will find that there are churches that preach hate. Is that true? On this topic. They preach hate. On the other side, there are churches that will ordain homosexual ministers to have oversight over God's people. That's on the other side. Right? So my question is then, with the churches, what we've seen over here, teaching all this type of different stuff when it's talking about this, what is it that you and I believe? And the answer is, it is through our relationship with the Lord and believing that the Bible is truly the Word of God that we get our answers. That's where we get our answers. Not what so-and-so thinks or what this person believes and what that person, you know, recommends. What does God say and what does the Word of God say? Folks, not embracing the truth of the Word of God leads us down a road of destruction. I'm telling you. Down a road of destruction. The Bible tells us, first of all, that God is a God of love and that God loves His people. God loves every single person that He created. He loves His people. And when we go out there and we reject His word, we begin again to replace God with our own gods. And when we replace God with our own gods, it's gods that think like we think. In other words, whatever we think, our God will agree with. And when God and His word are rejected, when God and His word is rejected, sinful behavior becomes acceptable. So the question is, how should Christians treat those who embrace sinful activities, whatever the sinful activity is? How should Christians respond to those or treat those people that embrace sinful activities or sinful lifestyles? And you know what the answer is. Okay, we should know and believe the Bible. Not complicated. We know and believe the Bible. Folks, we need to know this, that Jesus hung out with a whole bunch of sinners. And let me say this, before you and I got born again, we were in these categories. Okay? And the problem is that there are some sins that you are able to see. You see somebody and you can say, oh, I can see your sin, right? But there are people sitting in the churches all over the world this morning where you can't see their sin. And then we become very, how can I say, self-righteous, and we start pointing fingers at different people. We need to know that Jesus befriended sinners, okay? He befriended them, but this does not mean that He condoned their behavior. Same. Matthew 9:10, let's read about it. And Jesus reclined at a table in the house. Get the picture. How do you recline? You know, kind of, maybe he had his foot up on a chair and he was reclining. And Jesus reclined at a table in the house, and behold, many tax collectors, and of course those guys were sinful guys because they were stealing the people blind. We know about that, don't we? Huh? Okay? So many tax collectors and sinners. And these were sinners with all different sins. And were, it says, and these people were reclining with Jesus and the disciples. So they were all kind of, you know, chilling, laid back, reclining, however you recline. Recline for me, Gail. There we go. That's how Gail reclines. All right. So they're all doing that. Reclining, just chilling. And also all these sinners were reclining with Jesus. Now watch here. Now it is the religious leaders of the day. And when the Pharisees, now these are the religious guys, saw this, they said to Jesus' disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and with sinners? So here's Jesus' response, okay, to the religious leaders. In verse 12, he says, but when he heard this, okay, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. And then he says to them, go and learn what it means, you scribes, you Pharisees, you religious leaders of the day. Go and learn what it means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Then Jesus said, For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Isn't that amazing? Our Lord's response. So folks, as Christians, your goal and my goal should be that we get to know people that don't know Jesus. And when we get to know people that don't know Jesus, we present the truth of the gospel of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, ensuring that people are snatched out of the kingdom of darkness. Okay, brought into the kingdom of light. We go out and we share the good news with these people. And I need to say this. Just like Jesus, we need to be just like Jesus. Okay, we love the sinner. but we don't love the sin. That gives us a perspective of it, right? We love the sinner, but not the sin. Remember this portion of Scripture, Romans 1 verse 16, I think I shared last week or the week before. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith, for it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Okay? So the gospel, what he's saying here is that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and the gospel is the power of God to enable you and I to be able to lead a righteous life. Will you sin from time to time? Of course you will. Okay? But we can, there's a solution which I'll speak about now. So folks, we need to continue to make sure that we just keep our eyes focused on Him and on all that He has done for us. That's what we do. Just keep our focus. Spend time in His presence. Spend time in His Word. Spend time with God's people. Remember, it is about the King and it is about His kingdom. And it's not about you and it's not about me either. All right? And if we don't do these things, we can start to live in a way that is not really not pleasing to the Lord. Okay? And then it's about making a decision. We need to make a decision. So let us not be a people who reject Him. Let us not be a people who replace Him, like many do, with our own way of thinking. Let's not be like that. You know that there are people that actually refuse to embrace the knowledge of God. You know that. They refuse to embrace the knowledge of God. And when they continually reject God, and you know, God is so patient, but when they continually reject God like this, He gives them over to their deprived mind so that they will go and do things that they should not do. Have you ever heard this? People say this. Can there truly be a good God in heaven when there is so much evil and there is so much suffering in the world? Did I have the right tone there? Huh? People talk like that. Can there truly be a good God in heaven? And Paul tells us that it is because there is evil and because there is wickedness, because those things are there, it does not mean that there is not a good God in heaven. Doesn't mean that, right? He says that this evil is a result of rejecting and replacing God. Because if we didn't reject God and replace God, we wouldn't see the evil that we see in the world today. And he wrote this 2,000 years ago. Remember that God has made Himself known to us through creation and our conscience. And another question I just want to throw out. Why is it that it seems like, you know, evil, you know, is really has been on the increase in the last 25 or 30 years? Have you noticed? I mean, those, some of you are under 30, so you wouldn't know. All right. But it's like it's starting to gain momentum, evil in this world of ours, and we've seen it in the last couple of years. This thing is gaining momentum. So why is it that evil seems to be increasing? And the answer is that people have rejected God. That's it. This is not complicated. We have removed God from our schools. Huh? We've removed God from our workplaces. Right? And you hear them, well, you know, let's take prayer out of schools. And, oh man, I'm on the committee here. Let's take prayer out of schools, but I've got a good idea. Let's replace prayer with condoms for the kids. Yeah, I'm telling you, okay? But folks, the more that society rejects God, the more evil will prevail. And that is just the way it is. Reject God and you see evil starting to gain momentum. It's gaining momentum. But I've got good news for us. Very good news. The Lord has given us an opportunity to repent. Isn't that incredible? To repent. And all we have to do is come and ask for His forgiveness. We see in 1 John 1 verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We just have to come and tell Him. Huh? So when we come to the point of realizing, folks, that we can't do this on our own, when we realize that we have a loving, gracious, merciful God, okay, who's standing there waiting for us with arms wide open, okay, and when we choose to receive Him, because it's about a decision, and we start to do those things in our lives that He wants us to do, when we do that, our time on planet Earth will change. You start to see the joy and the peace, okay? And our eternity, okay, our rewards in eternity are just multiplied. We need to be doing this, okay? And now's the time to receive it. His mercy, His grace, all of these things. Grace, unmerited favor. God, grace is not something that you can earn. God just gives you grace, okay? And remember, too, that there are always, always, always going to be consequences to the decisions that you and I make. Every decision, there is a consequence. And I want to say, too, that most of us that are sitting here today have actually received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Is that true? Most of us, I know that. But folks, some of us are struggling to live for Him. We've received Him, but we're struggling to live for Him. And if that is you, if you are struggling to live for Him, I'm telling you right now, the way to get through this thing is you have to make a decision. It's just about making a decision to turn back and turn towards Him. Because when we turn back and we turn towards Him and we repent, you'll find that His power and His anointing starts to flow through our lives again. And that's what He wants for all of us. He says we must ask. We have not because we ask not. Okay, He will meet us where we are at. Why? Because He is a loving Heavenly Father. Amen, amen, and amen.